everybody, and welcome to Heartbeat. Today the topic is, do I depend upon my ability or God's ability? Do I depend upon my abilities or God's abilities? Well, I guess, yes, I do depend upon my abilities, but the abilities that I've been given are gifts from God. When I was a baby, I didn't decide that I wanted to enjoy maths or chemistry. God gave me the brains, the know-how, the teachers, the environment to develop that. I didn't enjoy English as much. Why? Was it I didn't have a good teacher? I don't think so. It's just not what I leaned towards. What ability was very much, say, within me at the time. I have, of course, used English way more as I've got older. But I still enjoy the sciences, the maths. Now, that's just a simple little thing to whatever. But everyone of us are individuals. And God values us as individuals. We're unique. Remember when in the scripture it talks about Jesus goes after the lost sheep? Well, we may not be lost, but do you know he goes after that one? Me one, you one, whatever one there is. He's trying to say that everyone is important. Everyone is necessary. Talks about, I've heard before in some talks where someone says God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Because my beliefs in God need to just come from me. I can't depend upon my mother and father or my grandparents before me. Now, of course, if they've shared God with me, it's easier often, but I still have to make a choice. We all have to come to the crux of, do I believe or not? Am I going to follow God or not? But God has made us all individuals. We're all different personalities. There's beauty in all of us. In contrast, there's beauty. There's beauty when you put black against white, when you put red against brown, whatever colors, whatever, you know, aspects we are, God has got beauty within us. Each one is called to have our own personal relationship with God. So each one has their own personal relationship, but we all have in many ways the same call to have a relationship. All different because of our ability, whereas God's abilities are the same. They stay the same. They are the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we do change. Think of yourself. We change. We move on. We change in character. We change in disposition. We change in our thoughts. We mature, hopefully, in all of them. And Jesus, though, calls us to have, even amongst all that change, an ongoing relationship with him. And we have, again, what is it? The same call to follow and become like Jesus. That doesn't mean then that we're all robots. You know, Jesus, remember, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I follow Jesus, does that mean I'm going to blend in and I'm going to be exactly the same as the next person? No. I may still have the attribute of a mind that thinks more of maths and science than to someone else who has English, because God could grow that even more. But it's not even just that. I'm a different personality. I might be quiet loving Jesus and someone is loud loving Jesus. But we're still focused all on that relationship of Jesus. And it's not just one individual's effort that will work. It's not all about me. It's not all about the person that appears to have the most amazing gifts and abilities, because, you know, sometimes we compare ourselves. we stand beside them and go, oh, why would Jesus want me? Because he wants everybody. And we all play a part. He talks about the body of Christ. And he describes a body. An arm can't be an ear, and an ear can't be a leg. We all have a part to play, and it's all important, and it's all working in unison. It's all working for the same cause. God desires us to know that we are all important, and that to bring Jesus to the world, the whole church needs to be working together to accomplish this assignment given to us. So when he said to the disciples, go out to the whole world, he wasn't just speaking to Peter. He wasn't just speaking to, you know, John, Philip. He was speaking to all disciples, all people who will follow him, who choose to follow him. And he wants them all to bring their gifts and abilities in, no matter how small it might appear, because you might be that key to the next part working. Can you imagine if you have an arm and I have a shoulder, but I don't have the tendons that attach the arm to the shoulder? Bit useless. It's just be an arm sitting here. You couldn't move. But you need to have the attachment. So maybe you're the tendon. Maybe you're that part that God wants you so importantly to play in his kingdom. He wants us to, all of us, to represent Jesus to the nations. You know, we pray that his will be done. Well, his will is that we would all follow him, that we would all love him, that we would all serve him. You know, our ability to connect with him especially is so important, but it's different. It's different for all of us in different circumstances, at different seasons. And he doesn't actually even rely on our abilities. He relies on our surrender. Saint Bernadette, who was the name that I chose for my confirmation, I was drawn to this girl who was 14, who loved God, but was not educated, was very, very poor. She lived in a prison with her family. And the prison was so bad that even the prisoners, although the state didn't use this prison as a prison, but her family had nowhere to go. So they move into this place for shelter to live. And she's going, you know, around the countryside, trying to look for firewood for her family. She lived in the Pyrenees in France, which is very cold in winter. And she comes across, or Mary appears to her. And at first she's very frightened, very frightened. And she goes to make the sign of the cross and to grab her rosary beads, which are in her pocket. And it says that she sort of freezes until Mary makes the sign of the cross and grabs her rosary beads, which are hanging on her hand. And they say the rosary together, and then Mary, in the first instance, disappears. And the journey that Bernadette had, that Mary took her on, in when appearing to her, was all focus of surrender to my son, pray. Petition to my son, pray, conversion for the world. And Bernadette later, in reflecting in bits that she wrote in a journal, uneducated, hadn't even done her catechism, hadn't made her first Holy Communion or her reconciliation or her confirmation at the age of 14. And God chose her for his mother to come and speak to her. I often reflect, it's not our ability. God sees our hearts. He desires everybody to come to know him. And for some, he chooses wonderful miracles like this where his mother appears. For some, he chooses miracles where he uses doctors, or even if no one knows how he does it, and he cures people who have diseases. And God comes to others and walks with them as they take up their suffering, take up their crosses and follow him. But each, every one, in different circumstances, yes, we in a way depend upon our ability. But in his kingdom also, we don't depend on our ability. Bernadette goes to the bishops, the priests and the bishops, and say, Mary has asked me that you would build a church here. And Mary was the one who told her to dig in the sand, bit of soil that was around these rocks, the grotto, and the water bubbling up, and healing water in the place of Lourdes today. And she goes to, tell the priests about this building the church, and they're like, yeah, right. You've seen Mary, right? And the only way that they believed her was Mary later in the apparitions in days to come told Bernadette, tell them that I am the Immaculate Conception. So she goes and tells this to the priest, and they are shocked, or the bishop, because it was only a few years prior that the Vatican had announced that Mary was the Immaculate Conception. Bernadette was uneducated and couldn't read, so she wouldn't have known that. It had not been fully released to the whole church or all the churches in the little villages where Lourdes was. There was not the newspapers or internet or online where she could just see it and see the announcements. They realized she did not know this, but Our Lady had revealed it to her. We don't have to rely on our ability. We need to rely on God's ability. But he does ask us to join our abilities together as a force. We need to, in Psalm 77, verse 11 to 12, it says, I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your works and muse or talk on your mighty deeds. See the word meditation, like we spoke about last week. I will meditate on your works. God wants us to remember, to be reminded of God's ability, of what he can do or what he has done. Because when times get tough, we often then, they call it navel gazing. I'm gazing into me and I'm going, oh, I can't do this. I don't have that ability. I can't change circumstances. This is hopeless. But God connects our little ability with his ability. He uses us if we say yes. And not use to use, not to discard and throw away, but to join with him in his work of reaching others, to love him so he can love them. He loves them already. That doesn't stop. But they don't know it. They don't know it. How God wants everyone to know that he loves them. So we rely on the Lord. And it says, don't rely on our own understanding. It says in Scripture, he has perfect plans for our lives. The call of God to reach the world for him. The world, what's the world, 7 billion people? The call is so vast. Can you reach 7 billion? Because I can't. I'm lucky if I reach one. But it cannot be done by one person. Or one group. We need each other. Often I reflect, why are so many Christians seem to be competing against each other? Oh, how many people have you got in your group? Oh, look what we do. Oh, no. So, acknowledge and celebrate what others are doing, because we're all doing the same thing, maybe slightly different ways, different personalities, but using our abilities so that we can love and serve God. Don't be in opposing positions between groups with jealousy or pride. Let's work together. Each believer is so diverse. Each non-believer is so diverse. So maybe you're the one that can reach the person that's like you. I could reach a person like me. God has a perfect plan. The gifts and responsibilities are vast, and it will take an entire church working together to accomplish this assignment to represent Jesus into all the nations. So let us work together. Let us work with our God, and let's see what he can achieve. Our identity, remember, we're not grandchildren, our sons and daughters, me being a daughter. My identity is found in my Father. We are his. Holy is his name and station. Everything about him is holy, and he desires us to be holy. You know, how many parents know the feelings when their sons and daughters don't want to know them anymore? You know, have an argument and won't talk to them. Ostracize themselves. So how does the Father feel when we do that to him? When we don't acknowledge him, we don't say hello to him every day. Some of us shun him, push him away. Many of us, and often I reflect upon it, Jesus on the cross, I put him there. My sins, my faults, my failings, I put him there. But he doesn't begrudge us. He doesn't hold it over us. He's forgiven us. Forgive us, he says. He asks, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such a loving, forgiving Father. You know, God feels for us. God loves us. God chases after us. God seeks us out. He desires us. Our abilities, our gifts from God, are gifts from him in the first place, and they're magnified by God. They're made useful with God. We have been asked to partner with the Lord. It says, your kingdom come to earth. We're saying, Lord, we want your kingdom to come here. We want you here. On earth as it is in heaven, we say. We want heaven's rules here. We want heaven on earth. We want God to walk with us, to be with us, just like it once originally was supposed to be. But on the earth there is pain and suffering, because death entered the world when we sinned. When Adam and Eve, and it's just, you know, maybe it's just an example. When Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world. But Jesus, dying on the cross and rising again, has won, has banished death. But we still live on the earth. And so our bodies might die, but we, our spirits, can live eternally with him forever if we choose. Free choice. Psalm 35 verse 9 says, then my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his deliverance. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you? You deliver the weak from those too strong for them. You deliver the weak from those too strong for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are weak because you deliver us. Thank you, Lord, that we are weak and needy. You don't despise us. You deliver us. You come to our aid. How wonderful are you, Lord. And Lord God, we desire to use the abilities that you've given us to make us useful and not to feel important for importance sake. But you know, it does make us feel important. It does make us feel needed and wanted and loved, because our God loves us and wants us, and wants us to partner with him, to join with him in the commission that he gave us. Go reach the earth. Go tell them about the good news. The good news that Jesus has saved them, that Jesus loves them, that there is eternity for them in heaven. I hope we remember that. I hope we are reminded about that every day. Thank you, Lord, that you desire us so much. Let's finish with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, you desire us. I just get overcome sometimes thinking about that. You love us. The unique me that I am. Lord God, in the little abilities that I do have, I lean upon when I am weak, you are strong. And I lean upon your abilities and your love and your grace and your forgiveness. And I thank you that you choose me, that you choose each and every one of us to become and join in your family. We are your sons and your daughters, and we thank you. And help us to do what we're supposed to do, to maybe be that tendon to that arm attached to the shoulder. We thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.